This is the Urban Sports Scene. I'm your host, Ray Rogers. We got a big show today. We're talking LeVar versus Portis, Fat Albert not being in minicamp. We'll debate if Jamarcus Russell is the biggest draft bust of all time and the tragedy that hit close to home at UVA. But right now, Tip, bring us in. I never let you down. I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's all right. Hard, I'm a ball, don't know squares. I float in $250,000 cars everywhere I go. I know in the lead it may seem me might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town I'm at. All right, and joining us as usual is my man over here that was the co-host of the McFish Morning Show, Jeffrey Fish Walters, the best assistant coach in the nation, Wally Akinzo.
Hello.
And we got a guest. We got a guest with us today. He's a tennis and college basketball insider. He's the king of controversy. He once turned a whole university basketball team against him. I call him King Al Akinzo. Holla at us.
Hello, how you doing today?
All right, and there's no cursing on this show, by the way. So. But anyway, we're going to start off this show with some national news that's kind of funny. I don't know if y'all remember Tecmo Bowl, but all of us here probably do. But there's some kids out there, they don't know about that. But the best player on Tecmo Bowl was who, y'all?
Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson? No, I thought it was Barry
best
Sanders.
Best defensive player.
What you want, you LT?
Del Green?
I don't think LT was that good.
Anyway, all right. Well, in my opinion, Lawrence Taylor was the best. He was the best football player on Tecmo Bowl, or defensive player. And he's in the news right now for some things. You know, he related to Roethlisberger as far as his urges for women, or little girls in this case. But anyway, we're going to chime in on that first. What y'all think, fellas, about that?
I mean, should it be shocking? We talking about LT here. He's one of those handful of athletes that are always in trouble. The Tysons, the Consecos of the world. I mean, I just want to know, did he have on that wave cap and gold teeth that he had in Any Given Sunday when he was with her? But, I mean, it's LT. Nothing ever surprised me with him. So, I mean, it should be a normal act with him. So, that's what I think.
I'm trying to figure out, was he snorting or something? I mean, I just want to – it just makes no sense that, you know, this dude paying, like, supposedly paying, like, $300 for some, you know, young age girl.
Does he not have groupies anymore? That's kind of wow. You know, he's still a professional athlete. He should have at least a groupie left over from the 80s.
He's a Hall of Famer. He should, yeah, he should have some kind of groupie.
I think you guys are looking at the wrong aspect. LT's always been a troubled man. Since, I believe, 1990, I believe. He has about, up to now, like 7 charges. The rape charge right now that they allegedly, everyone's finding him guilty. I mean, it's America. It's supposed to be, you know, guilty. I mean, innocent until proven guilty. I don't understand why everyone found him guilty. Every medium said that he was guilty before. He said that he did, his lawyers first came out and said that he's innocent. Then on a statement, LT did, you know, some sexual acts. First of all, I think he was conned. I mean, okay, he dealt with a prostitute that he thought was 19. He didn't rape the girl. And I think people need to first realize that. He did not rape the girl. And the girl stated that I lied to Lawrence Taylor and said that I was 19 instead of, I believe at this time, 16.
How'd he get the pimp's phone number? That's the question.
How'd he get the pimp's phone? He's Lawrence Taylor.
He's networking.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, only 3 people know what happened. The girl, him, and the pimp. And we have to let the court of law pretty much figure that out. I mean, everyone has an opinion of Forrest trying to find him guilty. Most of the people that are trying to find him guilty is off his reputation alone.
Exactly, but he's not. The charge rape should be thrown out. He dealt with a prostitute.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why they said it was rape was because that she was 16.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she told him that she was 19. And in papers, she said that I lied to him and said that I was 19. So. Let's take rape out. Let's take that he hired a prostitute.
Yeah.
His wife said on national TV saying that that's not his type. I mean, Lawrence Taylor has problems.
Well,
but should he go to jail for raping her for 20 years? No.
No.
I agree. I think we all agree with you. I don't think
it
was
rape. But if it's grass on the field, play ball.
Well, my whole thing is just why is he getting a prostitute? He's Lawrence Taylor.
I mean, he has issues though. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why it's shocking. Like, if someone said Lawrence Taylor was caught with a prostitute, would you say, oh my God?
No. Exactly. It's his history. I mean, you know certain players, when they do stuff, he's in the top five BCS players that are always in trouble, so nothing he does should ever be shocking.
But it was shocking when they said he raped a female. Everyone looked at it, well, not everyone, majority of people looked at it and said, Lawrence Taylor raped a female? Now they talk about taking him out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, that's the particular spot. I mean, you shouldn't be judged, I mean, in terms of the Hall of Fame, off some moral stuff. You did your business on the field.
Only baseball has a moral.
And they're ridiculous, but we don't need to get into that one, though.
Football does not. Yeah. So he's not going to be taken out, but people would even think about it. But if it was just prostitutes, it would just say Lawrence Taylor has an issue. And he has an issue, which is true. He has an issue with drugs. Mm-hmm. He has an issue with drugs. Now, prostitutes. I mean, don't forget assault. I mean, but he's a football player.
That's what he was taught to do. Right?
Prostitutes and football players go hand in hand. I mean, we're talking about
Eugene
a football
Robinson
player.
Hurt my heart.
I mean, we're talking about a football player. I'm a Cowboy fan, but I know when I hear prostitute and Michael Irvin, I'm not going to be shocked when I hear it together in a sentence.
Yeah, so I mean, I just feel sorry for the guy. You know, he wasted his talent. Well, he didn't waste his talent. He maximized his talent. But now, I mean, I don't even know if he might be close to bankrupt. I mean, because someone else had to bail him out. It wasn't his funds.
I think he's always had other work outside of football. I mean, he's been in movies. He's always had some type of endorsement deals and things of that nature. I think he's not making pulling the money from football that he once had, but I think he still has some type of funds. But I mean, his image is always going to find him guilty because of past incidents. It's no way he can really hide or protect that. But
the thing, what I'm saying, what you said with money, since he's been, you know, addicted to drugs, I'm sure his money has been depleted. Yeah. His movies, no longer. His last movie was Any Given Sunday, which was a good movie, you know, but that was about like 7 years ago.
He's doing, he just did what? He did that dancing thing that comes on ABC. He's also done the little weight loss thing with Chris Berman and all those guys.
I did see those type of commercials, but obviously.
And don't forget he fought Bam Bigelow.
He's one of those players that also gets paid for autographs, you know, to Johnny United. I'm pretty sure the money he's bringing in is nowhere near what he's brought in before, but I'm pretty sure he has some type of dollar somewhere.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is his lifestyle. You got to remember, like, a lifestyle for us, you know what I'm saying, we can live off what he did, but he can't.
But supposedly, he's supposed to have been sober for the last few years, the way his wife keeps coming out saying he's been sober. But
I don't believe it.
It is what it is. I can't get over the fact that he's networking with a pimp. But, you know, like DJ said, it's hard out here for a pimp when you're trying to get this money for the rent. But anyway, we're going to move on to more serious news. We obviously had a tragedy here, what was that, last week at University of Virginia, where two lacrosse players were involved, a female lacrosse player and a male lacrosse player. And it hit kind of close to home because we had the guy, he went to school right here in Bethesda. He grew up in Bethesda, Maryland, which is about 5 miles from our studios. And the female, I believe, is from Cockeysville, Maryland, which is close to Baltimore, for y'all that aren't familiar with that. So my whole thing is, It's messed up, but I don't think it had anything to do with sports players and being aggressive. I think that he had issues. His past was questionable, and we heard about that, I think, 2 days after the whole murder took place. And more comes out about this guy each and every day. But for me, when I went to college, I made sure my door was locked. When it wasn't locked, my roommate got approached by 3 guys who broke in, and it didn't work out with him. But I don't mean to make a joke. I'm dead serious. I think campus security is definitely an issue right now all across the U.S.
Her door was locked.
Her bedroom door was locked, but he got into the house.
The front door.
Okay. Isn't every door on a college campus pretty much unlocked? I mean, it's so easily. Campus is so easily accessible, it's almost ridiculous. It's so easy to walk through a door. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I went through a dorm room or two my time and stole some stuff.
I stole some food. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, hey, I wasn't
you
on the
stole, but Al, you stole food from a school you went to, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Fish went to other campuses and came back with PlayStations.
Thank you, Ray, for putting that information out there. I was talking about food.
Yeah.
I felt guilty for that too as well.
Right.
Stealing food.
Yeah. I mean, it's who hasn't done that? It's what
we were roommates at the time, remember?
I'm sorry. I don't want to throw us too far off topic. You know, campus security, that's just my thought, because I feel like maybe the outcome would have been different if she locked the door. But I mean, let's talk about facts. You know, what happened? He basically beat her to death.
What they said on the report was that he barged in and he slammed her head to the wall numerous times, and then he rolled out. Roommate came in. She thought she was drunk. I don't understand how she thought she was drunk. I mean, yeah. I think that was the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard. I mean, if you see blood, no, you got to understand. She said that he bashed her head into the wall. There had to be blood coming out.
And there had to be a big-sized dent, too, in that wall.
I mean, to say that I think my roommate was drunk, meaning that she was drunk. You know, it was clear that she was drunk. The incident is just sad, but I really think athletes, you know, growing up, if you're a star athlete, you're not used to getting the word no. And I think that plays a big part of what's going on with athletes.
They build that mentality that whatever I do, it's okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, it's prevalent in every sport.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're groomed from childhood that if you have the ability to be able to dunk a basketball, throw a football far, or run fast, you're always going to be looked as probably a better person or a better student, and especially in the academic, especially in college, when all you are is a commodity to them anyway. As a college athlete, you're a commodity to them. You bring them money. They don't pay you, but you bring them money in. And he's been pretty much given a free ride throughout his whole life. I mean, he's a privileged child. He's always had run-ins, and each run-in has been pretty much brushed aside. Like, it's okay. It was just this one incident.
He went to private school, they said, and each per year, his parents were paying $29,000. I mean, I'm sorry. $29,000, you know, for high school, to me, is kind of ridiculous.
Especially when public school is free.
I know, exactly.
Then he got to brush in with the law. You know, he was drunk in public. He cursed out a cop. Now, if it was a black athlete cursing out a cop, he'd probably be locked up. You know, and it'd probably be a bigger story.
Nah, they would just beat him up.
It would have been a bigger story.
Joey Porter got beat up by the cops.
It would have been like, okay, now he either banned from the school or some sort.
A lacrosse player?
A black athlete. Mm. A black athlete in a Caucasian school, things like that happen.
Caucasians, that's how
it happens. I mean, that's what happens. So you got to understand and realize that. I mean, he had minor things to the law, but no one looked at, you know, that he was going to kill the young lady. You know, I mean, it's a tragedy, but I mean, what do you learn from that?
Well, I mean, it was a jealous rage. I think it has less to do with him being an athlete. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I don't want to overshadow the tragedy by talking about race, but I mean, it does factor in.
At the same time, it's no really a lot you can pull in for as race, but at the same time, lacrosse players do have a history of having aggressive mentalities. Look at the incident in Duke. Even though the girl, the story was kind of made up on her end, I mean, they had an aggressive way of using her that night. Of her in the house. And he also has ties to a couple of Duke players. They went to the same high school.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I think it's just some sports, maybe. Other sports, I mean, we know the history behind football and with athletes.
On another note, I don't know if any of y'all actually party with lacrosse or soccer kids. They do party hard. I mean, they naturally do party hard. I mean, they drink a lot, you know. So, it's not, you know, shocking that, you know, he was drunk.
Have we found out if he was actually drunk at the time?
I believe they said he was drunk.
I believe he has a drinking problem also.
I don't know if that. I don't know if that's a fact. But anyway, rest in peace to that young lady, and may our prayers be with her family. But we got to take a quick commercial break. Shout out to Will T. Shorter. We hope you feel better, man. He usually sits in with us. Next, we're going to discuss another topic that involves the death in sports here locally.
For the next few weeks, I'm responding to questions and comments that we've received from you, our listeners. Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you Healthy Moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. A listener said, I'd like to know more about eating healthier when you have diabetes. Taking good care of yourself can help you feel better, and here are some healthy eating tips. Don't skip meals. For breakfast, try 2 slices of whole grain toast with a tablespoon of peanut butter, or a hard-boiled egg, or an ounce of low-fat cheese. Pack your lunch. Make a sandwich with turkey or lean beef. Use mustard or low-fat mayonnaise. Add fruits instead of chips. And choose a healthy mix of foods each day. And for more tips, visit our website, yourdiabetesinfo.org, or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more Healthy Moments.
Put me on anything, still I bet I could. Put me anywhere on the map, I bet I could.
All right, welcome back to Urban Sports Scene. And a few years ago, I don't know exactly when it was, y'all can refresh my memory, but Sean Taylor, the Washington Redskins, was killed. What year was that?
08.
Anyway, the reason why we're discussing that is because LeVar Arrington, who was a former linebacker for the Redskins, he had a passionate speech at Sean Taylor's funeral. And recently, Clint Portis was asked about how he felt in regards to LeVar Arrington and his relationship with Sean Taylor. Here's what he had to say.
I lost a lot of respect for LeVar at that moment, you know, at speaking for at Sean's funeral. To get up, you know, I really thought that was, I don't know what you call that, but LeVar ain't no Sean like that, you know, and I think for the people who did, seeing that how LeVar going to portray, I remember me and Sean was going to jump LeVar, you know, from throwing powder in Sean's face his rookie year, you know, and trying to haze Sean and be the tough guy, and oh yeah, you know, he felt like it was a joke, but we ain't like that. For all the attention LeVar claimed, and me and Sean was cool, they wasn't cool. Sean ain't with LeVar, and you know, I really think sometimes people should stop. I don't think you should do that. You know, I think if you cool with somebody, if you know somebody, you know them, but don't go in and portray and set out an image like this your buddy, this your pal, like y'all hung and y'all really didn't, you know. I don't know. I don't think that's fair, man.
All right, now that was pretty strong words from Clinton Portis, man. I mean, talking about they were going to jump him. I mean, and LeVar had a soft response. We'll get to that, but what do y'all think about what Clinton Portis had to say?
Well, I mean, I get what Clinton Portis is trying to say because, you know, he knew Sean Taylor and they were tight, but the way he went about saying it, it just wasn't right. I mean, you don't know how the next man feels. So for you to go out there, for Clinton Portis to go out there and basically state that, you know, LeVar was being phony and this, that, and the other, well, he doesn't know how LeVar felt about Sean. LeVar, just like how I'm a big Redskin fan, I don't know Sean Taylor, but it hurt me to see him die. So, I mean, obviously, in terms of, I mean, for LeVar, he might feel even stronger because he played with the individual.
I think if I had to choose a side between LeVar and Clinton, I think I would go with Clinton Portis because the Miami connection. I mean, everyone knows that you connection between those athletes are very tight. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I mean, LeVar really didn't play with Sean Taylor that long. And I also think, I mean, Clinton Portis has no reason to come out and really say it. I mean, obviously, it's something that's been pent up in him since the incident happened.
Well, I mean, what I'm talking about is it's not more of, obviously, Sean Taylor might have been beefing with LeVar. He might have personally, but LeVar might have not even known about the beef. You know, LeVar, that's just how LeVar took it. LeVar probably took it. It's possible for another individual to take it like, okay, he's hurt for this dude to die. You know what I mean? I mean, he just could be just that kind of a compassionate individual. Clint Portis doesn't know what's on LeVar's mind.
I think there's no side to be taken. I think it was a stupid comment by Clint Portis. I think it was a stupid comment by LeVar. And then it went back to Clint Portis. Then LeVar finally was man enough to say, let's dead it. There's no reason for a conversation like that to even occur. I mean, Sean Taylor passed away. Why are you talking about, you know, we wanted to jump somewhere? I mean, we're not high school anymore. I mean, it was stupid. LeVar didn't need to hear that. I mean, honestly, the public didn't need to hear that. What do you gain from that? You gain nothing. You gain absolutely nothing. But just, I look at Portis and see, like, he's a kid. Portis is a true kid. I mean, you say that on at the hood. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be an adult now. You're supposed to be a role model. One of your best friends passed away, and you're beefing with another man saying, we were going to jump him.
Well, I think it's tough. When a former teammate has a radio show or is in the media, period, we saw with Tiki Barber when he made comments about Eli, how that sparked off. I mean, it's going to be tough. People are going to have to make comments. Michael Strahan made some strong comments about Plaxico. So these kind of spats happen. I do think that Clinton took it too far, but like you said, LeVar was man enough to apologize. And LeVar pointed out that not only did he apologize, he said that my kids still play with, I think it's one kid, plays with Sean Taylor's kid and their wife and his fiance. They're still good friends. So maybe, you know, Clinton Portis didn't know exactly how close Sean Taylor and LeVar Arrington actually were. But anyway, from one you know, former Redskin to a current Redskin. We got Albert Haynesworth, who's not in minicamp right now, and it's making a lot of news around here, even nationally. We saw on ESPN.com where Philip Daniels made a bunch of comments, and also Mike Williams. But go ahead, what y'all got to say? We got two Redskin fans here. We let y'all chime in first.
Big Al, it's probably, I mean, I'm a fan of Albert, but I think he's, I don't like the guy anymore. I mean, I don't like him as a person right now for the Washington Redskins. The way I look at it, I mean, is if your supervisor or manager, you know, will ask you, hey, you know, we got a workshop for you, you know, it's optional, you know, it's voluntary, but this is for something that you have a new software that you need to learn before we, you know, incorporate it in the system. I want you to go to a, you know, workshop.
If Albert Haynesworth were healing me, he would probably be going, I just don't want to play in the 3-4. That's just me. I'm paid here to be a defensive tackle.
He got paid $32 million out of 41 guaranteed for 1 year.
I just want to kick butt.
I mean, seriously, the rest is...
that guy across from me, he's going to line up and he's going to know I'm the better player.
I mean, hey, he signed up to play for the Washington Redskins.
He just wants to kick butt.
But he didn't sign up to play for 4-3 defense. He signed up to be a Washington Redskins.
3-4 defense.
I mean, people got to understand that, all
right? I think he's being so selfish right now. I mean, to hold out for money is one thing. To hold out because you don't want to play. You're a D lineman, so you're going to play somewhere on that line. So
let's just squash all this. It's just minicamp.
It's not just minicamp.
I'm sorry. It's just minicamp.
This leads to more things. It'll start in minicamp, then it'll start in training camp, then it'll start to the preseason. And then when the regular season starts.
Quick question.
And he doesn't want to play nose tackle.
Is it mandatory?
Is it mandatory?
It's voluntary.
When your coach says mandatory, voluntary, you should be there.
I'm asking you a question. So what would you do?
If I was out here?
No, your profession.
For my profession?
Yeah, your supervisor told you, you know, we have
to. It depends what time I had to wake up, you know what I mean? It does. It took 10 minutes. Okay.
We ain't talking about $32 million on the line.
But if I got 41 million,
we will. If I got 41 million, though, going to get there eventually.
If I got 41 million, though, I was getting 32 or 41.
41 is guaranteed already.
If I got 32 million, I think about it.
I mean, 42 is guaranteed.
I'll volunteer at the YMCA. I'll volunteer at the jailhouse for $32 million. I don't care. I'll play nose tackle.
I just think athletes take it to another level.
They're entitled, like we said.
That's what I'm saying. It's that entitlement, you know. True. That's why as a fan that's paying $75, you know, to see them play,
but
they'll complain because, you know, that $75 means something to them.
I got a question real quick. Do y'all coworkers, does their opinion matter to y'all?
No. My coworker? No.
Depends on the subject.
Yeah, depends.
Oh, well, his coworkers think he should be there.
Yeah, I think he should be there.
You're on a team.
This is a
team sport.
You're exactly. On a team at work?
No, not really.
Sometimes I'm like, team.
Actually, when you have group projects, then you're a coworker.
But on an individual, when they do that annual review, I don't see none of my teammates there.
Exactly. Do you consider me a teammate here on this show?
I consider you a coworker.
Wow. See none of my team all the time.
Well, I'm not. I'm a guest.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You're an insider.
But does any of this shock you that Albert Haynesworth is doing this? He did it in Tennessee.
Great point.
Because only time he really wanted to play football in Tennessee is when a contract year was there.
But he's been like this throughout his whole football career.
He's been
in college.
Even back to Tennessee.
You know, he was a problem in Tennessee.
But do you like Albert Haynesworth?
He seems like a nice guy.
I mean, I saw him before. I came in the studio. He was out front.
Actually, you know, he talks calm, but he has a mean streak. And, like, they said in Tennessee, he has a real mean streak. Like,
I know. Didn't he have, like, some domestic violence stuff going on?
Yeah, he almost assaulted one of the players. They had to kick him out. But he was so good that, you know, he had to come back.
Well, I think Albert Haynesworth, I think he's mad enough to say whatever he needs to say to Daniel Snyder, Mike Shanahan, say it to their face, Bruce Allen, whoever. But let's change gears. DeSean Jackson, he has some things to say about the Redskins' current quarterback. And Donovan McNabb came out and said he couldn't say it in my face, basically. He didn't want to exactly say it in those words.
Is he shorter than Donovan?
He's like 5'9". He's skinnier. Yeah,
so he couldn't say it to his face.
I think, to be honest with you,
my former roommate would say it to his face. He's smaller than everybody here.
Little Ron Johnson wouldn't have said that to him.
when they rushed our apartment in college, man.
But DeSean Jackson, I think he would... He's going to eventually learn that he wished Donovan McNabb was still there after this season. Yeah, we'll see how much his faith
until they put Michael Vick in. He's going to feel
I
that
think,
way.
You know,
I don't like his comments, but I think he was really trying to help out his quarterback, trying to say that, you know, we're behind you.
He was.
I mean, to be honest, that's what it really was. I mean, he didn't say nothing negative about McNabb.
I think the media also kind of blew it up more than what it really was.
Because he never said anything negative about McNabb.
But remember when McNabb, after the Cowboys playoff game, he said, "Are you showed?" And Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson took that personal.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
He said,
they
show their
youth.
Yeah.
But McNabb is known to throw a couple people underneath the bus. He does that quite frequently. I mean,
the way they treated him in Philly, I would throw my whole team under
the bus. That's the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, DeSean Jackson better watch out defending Cobb, because Cobb, he don't know what's coming with that media up there in Philly, man. He really doesn't.
Yeah, right. I mean, Cobb is actually a good quarterback,
He still needs to prove it.
Michael Vick should be starting.
I mean,
even Michael Vick still needs to prove it. If he wants to take Cobb's job, he has to prove he can take Cobb's job.
Well, he's studying now, man.
It's not nothing to do with study. It's what I see is that no quarterback is good enough in Philadelphia unless you win a Super Bowl. And Vick would not
they
win
have
a Super
never
Bowl
won a
in
Super Bowl.
But exactly.
Love Ron George.
No, actually, they don't. They do not. And when he was playing, he said it. They hated him.
He said it.
Randall Cunningham. They hated him too.
Did they?
Yes. Nah, they loved the
Bradford
a little bit.
No, they hated him when he was playing.
They hated
him.
Why
did he left so early?
Exactly. I think people forget.
Nah, because Ray Rose ran out of town.
I don't think Philly has ever had a
Ray Rose ran
Randall
Cunningham out of town.
Exactly. They never do. They never do unless you win the Super Bowl. They love McNabb. When he went to the Super Bowl, he lost. Oh, my goodness, we need a new quarterback. Come on. What more do you want from a guy?
I can only think of maybe one player that Eagles fans have always cherished, and that's
Brian
like Chuck McNair.
Really
old football player who went both
they
ways.
They love Ty Detmer.
And they were talking about the 50s
they love
and 60s
Ty Detmer, yeah. They love Ty Detmer.
No, they loved him when he was a backup. And when they started, they hated him. There's a reason.
They love to a tight end.
If they had Peyton Manning,
you mean Coy?
Coy Ty, same
Manning,
thing.
It would be the same thing.
They had both of them, actually.
I think they kind of.
Coy definitely was like a backup for like, what, 10 years?
Coy
never shaved.
And Coy
one
hit
time?
That little nasty dance against Brett Favre.
He
had
the soul beard.
He did a little.
That little nasty dance. He played against Brett Favre.
He was hilarious.
Oh, man.
But that Eagles Redskins game is going to be real interesting this season, man. It's going to be hyped here locally. We're going to be in Philly for training camp. We're going to be here in D.C. for training camp. Anyway, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we're talking Pac-Man Jones. Is Jamarcus Russell, is he the biggest bust of all time? I don't think so. We'll talk to y'all when we come back.
Maybe you can drive my car, and maybe I love you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Leslie, and I play basketball. I drive the lane. I also drive my team, but I don't drink and drive. We at RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving, say, hey, if you're going to drink, don't drive.
Beep, beep.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah!
I'm in love with a stripper. Is that what Pac-Man, is that his favorite song? Anyway, we were talking about LT earlier. We think Pac-Man might be the next
Adam Jones.
Adam Jones, the man formerly known as Pac-Man. I thought his name was Adam West, the dude from Batman.
Silly rabbit tricks for kids.
What?
Silly rabbit tricks are for kids.
All right.
Kids are slogan.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, you know, what do y'all think about Adam Jones getting another deal in the NFL?
Well, I'm loving Cincinnati because they're known for giving people a second chance.
Yeah,
they're
going to sign Akon next.
They are the former Oakland Raiders. Nothing more, nothing less.
How is that?
Oakland Raiders used to be the bad boys, you know.
Oh, okay.
Who they had that were bad?
At least their bad boys actually won.
Who they had that were
in the 70s?
Bill Romanowski?
Two set?
Yeah, Romanowski.
Don't help him. Go ahead.
Romanowski, other dirty player.
He was bad.
They have a history throughout their organization
of
always getting bad players.
I don't agree with that statement. Men lie, women lie. No.
The number two is actually
the
truth.
Who? Name them then. Todd Mandridge.
Look at the penalties. I mean, that's the reason why they had a lot of penalties.
Robert Gallagher, he's a thug.
No, Robert Gallagher, not now. Gallery's
he's a great
strong.
Guard.
I believe Coach Al is talking about their history throughout their organization. They've always been an organization.
So, Pac-Man, did he deserve another chance? Will we get another chance at work at our job?
Why wouldn't he get another chance? Why wouldn't you get another chance? Why wouldn't he?
I don't know. You tell me.
It's a free country. I don't understand. Why wouldn't he get another job? It's a free country.
Cincinnati Bengals. Like
not a free country in Arizona.
But what I'm saying
that's what
is,
they need to do, start deporting these people. You know, Pac-Man, I mean, Adam. Get them out of here.
Who you send them to? Where, who else has good strip clubs? Who else in the world has strip clubs to our standards?
Mexico.
Mexico?
Yeah,
can you make a peso ring? It's kind of hard.
Amsterdam. Amsterdam has good strip clubs.
How do you know?
I don't. Then, that's what I heard.
We made it currency over there. But, I mean, is Pac-Man deserving of opportunity? Who doesn't? It's,
his name
it's the American
is Adam,
way.
That's what y'all told me.
The athlete formerly known as Pac-Man.
So,
it's the American way to
so
get
so what do you think he fits in terms of the secondary?
No. I really think that if Adam Jones really is going to make a contribution to the Bengals, he better learn how to play special teams because he's not going to crack the starting lineup.
No, he's going to be a good nickel.
I don't think so.
Why don't you think
so?
Well,
the Bengals drafted Brandon McKee from Wake Forest, and I don't really see him taking his spot.
They draft him this year?
They just drafted him in the third round.
Pac-Man's going to beat him.
I don't think he's going to take his spot.
I think he's going to beat him nickel.
And also think, if Pac-Man really wants to contribute to the team, he needs to do it on punt returns and kickoff returns.
But the punt returns wasn't that bad last year, I believe.
No, but Pac-Man is a great punt returner. He's good.
From the previous year in Dallas, he sure wasn't.
I mean, but that's half a season, but that's not a real dedicated season for him. He's coming off suspension and things of that sort.
He's been out the league about three years. Right?
In one season.
Well, no, I don't count the Dallas season. I mean, that's just bypass the Dallas season.
But according
season.
To...
You know,
but,
3 years, that's when he was good. Uh-huh. You know, so... Special teams is out the window.
But according to the Cincinnati, I mean, they ran him out. They said he's very impressive. Look, his speed was still there, so...
But I'm saying that he's going to be... he's good for a nickel in the AFC because the slot receivers are smaller and quicker. Pac-Man is real quick and he's low to the ground. He fits well as a nickel. The guy they drafted from Wake Forest, he's not an ideal nickel cornerback. You know, now you have Hall and you have
Joseph.
I think Joseph's going to leave soon. He's going to get actually that max dollar that he can't afford. That's the reason why they drafted the guy from Wake Forest. I mean, you got to also look at that salary cap kicks in. You can't keep all the great players that you want.
Well, I don't think Pac-Man's going to really do a whole lot. I mean, come on now. We're talking about a defense
that really struggled
at the end of last season.
I'm not saying he's going to do a lot, but as a nickel, you're not asked to do much.
It's a two-year
deal.
Well,
I think
deal.
As a nickel, he's also going to have to learn how to play some special teams.
Yeah, he's going to actually learn to play some special teams, but he's going to start at nickel.
We'll see. We'll see when the season starts.
Hey, I tell you what. They ran T.I. out of Cincinnati. They run him off. He acts stupid in them clubs. But anyway, I mentioned the Raiders earlier and comparing them to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Raiders, they released Jamarcus Russell here recently, and they got Jason Campbell as their quarterback. And they're excited about it out there in Oakland. I read the Sacramento Bee, and they're really hyped up about Jason Campbell.
Man, we got a lot of Twitters that was on Jamarcus Russell's side. I mean, that's – go ahead. Why don't you read a couple of them to us, Ray?
You guys are amazing. First of all, let me make my – why y'all don't want me to make my Jamarcus Russell comments, man? Ryan Leaf was a bigger bust than Jamarcus Russell.
I don't think you can label Jamarcus Russell a
bust
yet.
We got a couple Twitters about Jamarcus Russell. You have been knocking a Haysburg boy,
well, first of all, Leaf wasn't really... Russell's a bigger bust than Leaf. I'll break it down. Leaf was emotionally, you know, not ready for the league. He was too young. Marcus Russell didn't want to.
How old was Leaf when he was drafted?
No, emotionally. I didn't say age, just emotionally. Like, he was a kid. He was a kid. You know, Russell... got the money, he didn't want to play football. Russell's the type of person that I don't think he really ever liked football. I think that he was forced to play football just like Ricky Williams growing up. Right. You know, he was good growing up as a kid. He liked it. Eventually, he stopped liking playing football. You can watch. His work ethic sucks.
When he came out of LSU and a quarterback has an issue with weight, why would you draft him? How does a quarterback have weight issues?
So I'm saying he never really cared about playing football, you know, and that's the problem. But Ryan Leaf was that he didn't have a mentor. He was too young, you know. Like, he was a savior. He jumped in as a starter.
He was too immature to really accept the role of a starting quarterback.
To be fair, on Jamarcus Russell's side, he did go to the Oakland Raiders. That's the most unstable franchise in the NFL.
We can label him a bust early, but I think you need to give him at least a little bit of
But even Andrew Walters said, if you could have put Peyton Manning in that team, and he would come out not being Peyton anymore.
Okay, I'm just saying. I saw the special you saw.
Nah, but I'm not done yet. But if you look at it, I mean, like Fish just said, Jamarcus Russell, I mean, his career is not over yet, so we can't label him a bust right there. But Ryan Leaf, his body of work is pretty much done. 4-17 as a starter.
Ron Lee wasn't number one draft pick.
I mean, but he was fighting for his number two. He was fighting for number one now. I mean, granted, number two is not far off.
Quarterback bust. That's what we talk about. No matter if you're number one.
Yes, it is. Number one.
And we got, then you got.
So Tim Couch is a bigger bust than Ryan Lee because he went number one? Is that what you're saying?
Tim Couch had an injury problem.
Then you got Jamarcus Russell as a starter with 7-18. I mean, with the Oakland Raiders staff that, you know, when he got there, I mean, we're talking about Cable, and you had like Art Shell and folks like that around this time period. So, I mean, he didn't have an opportunity to truly succeed.
What did you say his record was again?
7-18.
Okay, did you forget about the Raiders' defense was pretty good too?
I was at 7-18.
I think that record does not talk about his offensive.
He held out for a year too. Remember that, like a jackass.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. He didn't care about football, and he still doesn't care about football. The year that he held out, he came back. He was supposed to be playing a little bit better. That next offseason, that was supposed to be the year that he was a turning point. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to work harder. He never worked harder. He was still out of shape. He still was the last person in, first person out. As a quarterback, you're supposed to be a leader. He was never a leader. He does not care about football.
Yeah, all these traits that they keep, you know, pretty much exaggerating now, is stuff that they knew about when they drafted him.
Exactly.
So it shouldn't come as a real big shot of the situation he's in.
But the same thing you're saying about Ron Leaf not being emotionally stable. You can say the same thing with Jamarcus Russell. He's not emotionally. He wasn't mature enough to be in the NFL right now. He came out early. You can say the same thing about. But that's what a lot of times when you're a quarterback and you are getting labeled a bust and you act a certain way. A lot of quarterbacks who are busts are not ready for the NFL in terms of emotionally.
I think that's the reason why a lot more franchises prefer a senior quarterback.
Of course, and I totally agree.
Because the percentages of junior quarterbacks coming out and actually succeeding is nowhere close to when seniors.
Okay, but looking at Ryan Leaf, you see him spazzing out in the media. That's what I'm talking about. He's young-minded. He wasn't ready for the league. Jamarcus Russell, he never spazzed out. He was always, you know, an adult. You know, so he was mature in the media aspect. He never really blamed his players. He never blamed his running back, his coaches. He never said anything negative. But look at his work ethic. He was never there. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying as a bust. I mean, he has the talent level, but he never had the desire to be better.
You said the same.
Well, maybe if he went to a better structured organization, he might have improved over time. But with the Raiders, I mean, they're pretty.
So, do you think someone's going to re-sign him?
Oh, you want to?
Why wouldn't they?
Most definitely.
Do you think he's going to be able? Do you think he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I think if he can go to the right team
and sit for a couple years, I think he has
an
opportunity.
Maybe actually develop.
No, but what I'm saying,
he might have a chance.
See, you say a chance, but you say
I think he'll have an opportunity.
So you think he'll start again?
If he can sign with a veteran, quarterback.
I mean, once again, it's very simple. I mean, it's a yes or no question. Do you think he's going to?
No, with the right team. If he gets on the right team, yes.
Well, officially, do you think he's going to start?
When he gets the right team,
I guarantee you, in about 3 years, he's out of the league.
Hey,
it wouldn't be a surprise.
I think he's out of the league. I think some of the commentators, Charles Lee, used the former GM for the Washington Redskins, said I wouldn't draft him. I wouldn't even sign him.
Charlie Cassidy. He's so good.
Is he going to get another chance? Of course. Someone's going to think they're going to get bad to get
Ryan
somebody.
Ryan Lee got a second chance for the Dallas Cowboys.
Ryan Lee got three, four chances.
Yeah. You know why? Because they think. I don't think he was as bust as Russell is. I mean,
he was more skilled than Russell.
Yeah, if you listen to it, if you really listen to the commentary, they talk about Leaf and they talk about Russell. People would never, after he left San Diego, they didn't say, oh, he can't play in the league. Russell, they say he should be gone.
His accuracy is terrible.
I mean, do you realize they say he should be gone? And he's only been in the league 3 years.
But they always say, like,
someone's going to give him a chance
because his tools are so good.
Someone's always going to be a sucker for his arm.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is,
Jeff George had found the same.
Jeff George was good though.
I'm not saying that.
I got him as Heath Shuler.
Hey, y'all can chime in on this discussion at www.twitter.com/urbansportscene, and we got some Twitter hits today, and they were discussing Jamarcus Russell. One interesting one I wanted to read real quick was in college, Jamarcus Russell had plenty of weapons and a good defense. Heck, LSU had a great program. What do y'all think about that?
I think Jamarcus Russell got lucky in college, for real. No. He wasn't even supposed to be a starter because he was so lazy in school that he pretty much benefited from injuries at the quarterback position.
Jamarcus Russell, I've watched him in college. He was good. I mean, I'm not going to lie. He was good. But the game that made him the number one pick was the Sugar Bowl. And to be honest, that's made him leave college. He was not thinking about leaving college. until he threw a couple good bombs, you know, to be honest. He wasn't ready for the league. I mean, the league forced him out. I mean, that's what happens. When you have a great game and, you know, and everyone's watching, why not leave? And in his combine, I mean, he can throw 70 yards in the air. It doesn't mean he can find someone.
And plus, also, I mean, sorry. And plus, also, you think about it. I mean, in terms of quarterbacks, it was him and Brady Quinn. So it wasn't that many.
It was a weak draft.
It was a weak draft that year.
It was a weak draft.
And we also got to realize who was picking the Raiders.
The Raiders, yeah, definitely.
Raiders are a sucker for a player.
Strong arm.
Well, that's the next point, because on Twitter, Dallas Cowboy Blue on Twitter says that Rusty was a bust. He saw it coming, but it's too bad that he had to go to the Oakland Raiders. Anyway, we got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about baseball. We're going to change gears. And it was a perfect game recently. So from a perfect show to a perfect game, we'll be back.
The Internet is a wonderful resource for kids. But in times like these, the Internet can also increase your child's risk of being a victim of crime. Instruct your child to never give out personal information, like their name, address, or school name without your approval. Teach them about frauds and scams that often appear as friendly emails or offers that are too good to be true. Place your computer where you can see what your child is doing. Use software that prevents access to inappropriate sites and chat rooms. Teach your child what to do if they come across such sites or receive solicitations from strangers. Learn how they're using the Internet and how much time they're spending on it. Let's keep our kids as safe in the cyber world as we try to do in the real one. Visit ncpc.org to learn more about how we can protect our children. That's ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
We're back. We're talking about irrelevancy right now. And right now, baseball is irrelevant amongst this panel. I'm sorry. You know, basketball season is still in full effect. And right now, we got our insider, though, sitting here. His name is Wally Akinzo. He loves baseball. He grew up playing. I heard he struck out in a big moment, though.
No, I didn't. Here we go.
It was a freaking ball.
Never mind.
He did strike out. I was there. I was witness. So, I was on the bench.
I struck out. I swung.
I was on the bench. Man, I clearly saw it.
It hit the dirt.
You struck out.
Anyway, we do like baseball. Our Nationals are doing well right now. But we're going to talk about this perfect game. I mean, it's in the news, so we thought we had to discuss it. Go ahead, Wally. What you think about it?
Yeah, well, the game, as everyone knows, was about it was from Dallas Braden from the Oakland A's. I mean, obviously, he went 9 innings, obviously, and struck out 6. He hit pretty through about 109 pitches, 77 strikes, and his ERA was 3.33. But, I mean, he did it against the best team in the AL. The best team in the AL and Tampa Rays. What sparked news was A-Rod and how he reacted to it. Alex Rodriguez came out there and pretty much like blew his perfect game out by saying like basically he ain't accomplished nothing.
He didn't sell Bowley.
He didn't say that.
I'm just paraphrasing.
Man,
the game,
his
accomplished
perfect
nothing.
Game was exaggerated because it was on Mother's Day because his grandmama and them was there. And Alex Rodriguez was right. I mean, does this make him overly famous now? Okay, he pitched the perfect game, keep the season going. It'd be different if this guy was a top-notch pitcher to begin with, but
he was
pretty
a
24th
round pick.
A middle of the road anyway.
He was a college baseball player of the week.
Who wouldn't be a player of the week if you pitch a perfect game?
I mean, Dallas Braden, I mean, last year against the O's, his first game was 3-0 shutout. So, I mean, he's a decent pitcher.
Holler at me come All-Star time.
All-Star time, he'll probably be there.
We'll see. Well, but, I mean, let's talk about something a lot more important like the NBA playoffs right now.
Yeah, we were talking about a perfect game. But I did want to mention you being a baseball player on a collegiate level, Fish, you know. So, I don't know why he's our insider.
I know. I mean, I like baseball. I grew up playing it. I mean, I like soccer too. Remember we used to kick around the soccer ball all the time, Ray? We talking about basketball right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, the Orlando Magic are perfect right now in the playoffs. And I never kicked a soccer ball in my life, man. So
don't you dare
chill with that.
You did. I'm sure you had gym class.
Dodgeball.
That you use as a soccer ball too. Stop faking.
No, kickball.
All right,
that ball in gym class was used for everything.
It is what it is. Stan Van played baseball too.
I don't think so.
Let's talk about Orlando. Can we talk about Orlando? They're perfect right now in the playoffs. It was a blowout series. That's what you call it, a blowout.
The second round was no competition.
The average, 27.
They beat them in four games, total of 101 points. That's pretty sad. But to be honest, who they matched up with, they played Charlotte, then they played Atlanta. But this is the same run that the Cavs did last year, and people tend to forget about. Cavs were steamrolled through the playoffs. They met up with Orlando and lost in six. Same thing can occur. I think Cavs tonight will be victorious and beat the Celtics pretty bad. And I think they'll play Orlando and they'll figure out a way to stop the three-point barrage. I think it tends to, with Lewis, I think James's matchup with Lewis is going to be a
Jameson has no defense.
But no, but also the problem is that Lewis has to play defense. Yeah. And see, and that's the thing that hurt Cleveland last year was that Lewis didn't have to, you know, waste any energy playing defense. But with Jameson, you have to. Jameson can go outside, and if you run hard on him, he can go take it to the lane, as you see he's done in this playoff. Shaq is going to get Dwight in foul trouble. Dwight's really not going to be that much of a factor like he was in the previous series. He's not going to be able to block the shots like that because he's not going to be in the court like that.
Let's wait until Cleveland actually gets there.
Exactly. And let's not holler at
me. I mean, right now, the Celtics and the Cavaliers series, I mean, it's still compelling. It's a very competitive series right now. And Rondo's pretty much been doing everything to
I think Rondo, I like Rondo, but I think it stops tonight. I think LeBron James is going to be checking him. I think the person going to get off tonight, though, is going to be Paul Pierce. I think Paul Pierce is really going to get off because
he's just going to stab him, right?
Because Parker is going to be checking him, and Paul Pierce is a lazy offensive player. And
he's skinny fat too.
Yeah, he is, but he's lazy. People don't realize it. Like when LeBron was checking him, he chose not to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. And some players act like that when a superstar is playing. I'm gonna play off, but this time, since Parker's going to be on, he's going to be on a block. He's going to do his pump fakes. He's going to be in the line. I think he's going to be in the line about good 8 to 10 times this game. But it's not going to be enough because I think Garnett's going to wear it down because he's getting old. But the only person that's been consistent besides Rondo is Ray Allen. I think Ray Allen's going to still do what he does because there's nothing affects him because he runs around and shoots over you. Rondo will be shut down, though. Rondo, meaning with driving in the lane and doing all this, he might have about 12 points, 10 assists, but that's about it.
But if you go back, going back to the Atlanta series, in Orlando, Dwight had like it was 80% from like the field. Dwight's going to if they do play Cleveland, Dwight's is pretty much will get Shaq in foul trouble. Not the way you think.
Nah, see this is the thing though. Shaq can be in foul trouble. Shaq's been in foul trouble throughout the whole playoffs.
I think Shaq just fouled us right now on the air.
Shaq's been in foul trouble.
It's just what Shaq does. But
he's going to get Dwight in foul trouble. When he gets Dwight in foul trouble, that means the lane is open. And when the lane is open, Orlando's in trouble. And that's the thing. Like, Dwight was doing – they're going to change the role from goaltender too, by the way, for Dwight Howard. Because now he's catching the ball, you know, a lot more. And they're not calling it correctly. And it's going to be a fact, like, when LeBron or Rondo, whoever that they play, the key thing is to get Dwight in foul trouble. Nelson's going to be a factor, though.
But let's get out of the East for a minute. Let's go out West with the Suns and the Lakers. I think that might be a lot better series than what people are going to be anticipating over from the East, as far as Orlando playing the Boston or the Cavs. I think that series has a chance to be a lot better than the teams they played previously.
I mean, it's interesting. Where do you have the series going?
At least six games.
Well, the interesting thing about that series is that it's wild because, you know, Steve Nash is like a defensive liability, and so is Amari Stoudemire. And, you know, the Lakers are a big team up front, and it's like whoever Amari is going to check.
You made a mistake with the Nash part because Nash will be checking Fisher, so that's a wash.
But regardless of the fact, he's still a defensive liability. If you look at it like Portland, you never know, because like what Portland did, period, was at first they put Nash on, I think it was Nicholas Batum, but I'm not sure. It was Batum or Webster, and then what they did was sub Webster or Batum out for Bayless. Eventually, they're going to attack Steve Nash.
What I'm saying is,
because Farmar could take Nash one on one.
But what I'm saying is, when you're saying defensive liability, Nash in this series is not defensive liability by any means. Because when Farmar gets in the game, well, he really doesn't anymore. Shannon Brown gets in the game, but when Shannon Brown's in the game, Nash won't be in the game. Shannon Brown doesn't play the minutes that Nash plays. And that's what you have. Like, Nash comes out at the 3-minute mark of the first half. Shannon Brown comes in at the 2-minute mark of the first quarter. So that's what I'm saying. It's not really a defensive liability matchup.
He will. Phil Jackson will.
Damari, yes, is a defensive liability.
Of course. Everybody knows
because
that.
Because of Gasol. But the thing is, Fry will be checking Gasol, and Bynum with his knee problem, who's not 100%, it's not going to really put that much of a problem for Amari.
I agree.
I mean, so when you really look at it, it's not the defensive matchup, it's the length of the Lakers that's going to take
Amari,
either way,
for a four, I mean, I don't think you just Amari is a terrible defender at the four position.
I didn't say Amari was a great defender. Bynum
with his length will still score on Amari.
Bynum with his length.
Even a bad knee will still score on Amari.
Any person of Bynum, Tim Duncan, Bynum, mm-hmm. Bynum averages about 14 to 15.
Well, I'll give you like this. Tim Duncan, who's done it, has no athletic ability right now at the moment, with scoring on Amari.
But what I'm saying, you're not understanding. Bynum is not a factor in this series of scoring-wise because he does not get the ball.
So you're trying to say just because of touches? Just because
he doesn't get touches. All
right, I'll give you that.
What would you even consider Bynum, the third, fourth option?
Bynum is about the second option in the first quarter. In the second quarter, the triangle goes through the center. No, it goes through Gasol.
Awesome, but this is my question.
That's right.
Shannon Fry will be checking Gasol or Collins.
All right, this is the
and that's hopefully by that time Brook Lopez will be coming back.
All right, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's Robin. It's Robin. Robin Lopez compete with the Lakers.
Yeah, they have. Well, to compete, yes.
They have enough big men at least compete.
To
win it, no.
No, I think the Lakers with the length, you know, and also Kobe, it's gonna be hard. And plus, Artest is gonna shut down someone that's been really helping Phoenix Suns, Richardson. And people are not talking about Richardson. Richardson is the one that got him over the hump. Richardson has been playing, you know,
lights out ball.
Great basketball.
Like Golden State again.
In the regular season, he's averaging about 14.8. This in the playoff, he's been at about 20 something. I mean, he's bringing out offense that you haven't seen before.
Absolutely.
But now when you have Artest on him, who can just, you know, body him to no sense. Artest might be switching to Nash from time to time. Also, it's just bad matchup. The Lakers.
I know this would be off subject a little bit, but you think Mexicans from LA are going to travel to Arizona to watch the game?
Oh my God!
I don't think
the Mexicans going to book the tickets.
But go ahead. But to your point though, in terms of Phoenix and whatnot, I mean, everyone, you're not even talking about it. But for honestly, the guy who's been keeping it together and kind of be doing all the hard work has been Grant Hill. Grant Hill has you know pretty much been that defender, that anything we need to do kind of guy, and that's what's been pretty good for
right.
He's been
doing all the, you know, the dirty work.
Definitely.
But the problem is the Lakers, he's not going to get the boards on the Lakers.
Yeah, but he'll compete, though. That's what I like about him.
He'll compete. But what I'm saying is,
man, this ain't the 1991 NCAA championship game against UNLV.
But if you look,
Grant Hill doing
if you look at the Lakers lineup, you have Fisher at the one.
Utah.
You have Kobe at the two. You have Artest at the three. You have Bynum at the four. You have Gasol at the five. Then you bring in Odom to close the game in the fourth quarter to replace Bynum, who's 6'10".
I got a question.
Just look at the length. The matchup doesn't fit.
But I'll say this, though, in terms of for Phoenix's argument and whatnot, the best thing they got going for them, if Fry can hit shots outside and pull out the big men, it opens a lot of things up.
But this is the problem. When Fry does that, you got to realize Odom will be fine. He will come in the game to check him, and Odom is that.
But they're going to run pick and roll though. Lamar Odom though, he's still not accustomed of still stepping outside to check big men. Mm-hmm. He's still used to being inside trying to get rebounds.
He is
athletic, and I think a lot of people think they look at him as being a guard big man. He doesn't rush out on shooters as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the pick and roll is still the hardest thing to check in the NBA. I mean, that's not going to change. But the thing is that Odom can actually check Shannon Fry because he's athletic enough to check him. And also, Odom is going to be a hard matchup for Shannon Fry
of course,
on the other end.
Yeah.
But the problem is, Amari's going to be checking.
So who's taking the series, in your opinion?
Oh, I mean, unfortunately, the Rapists and Friends will be winning in five. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Five.
Okay, well, you know, hit us up with your thoughts on Twitter. And that's twitter.com/urbansportsscene. You can also hit us up at the email address. What's the email address, Wally?
change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Go ahead, Fish. You have one last comment?
All I want to say is that hopefully the series will be as exciting as the East series we'll be anticipating. It'll be a lot better than the previous series out West. Because out West, games haven't been as exciting. But hopefully we'll have a better finals this time around.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked that Utah had to upset Denver, because Denver would have been a much better series for L.A. They might have beat L.A., to be honest with you. But I'm not. I said might. I didn't say they would have. But anyway, another discussion I want to have for a later show is, are sweeps, this many sweeps and one playoff, good for the NBA? But anyway, we got to take a commercial break. We're coming back with Real Talk.
Dear Mom and Dad, one thing I've learned in the Army is that when you're lucky enough to get a little time off, you should put it to good use. So I'm taking a moment to write and tell you that I'm fine and doing well. We have good days and bad days over here. We try to remember the good ones and get through the bad ones as best we can. Mostly we have each other, and that's what keeps us going. That and the pride of our commitment to getting the job done, whatever it takes. I miss you all very much and can't wait to get back to life as usual. Please tell everybody hello for me, and that I'll be home soon. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son, Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
I'm fly, I'm so damn. More than 500 horses when I roll by. I'm calm, I'm cool, they think brand new. I don't handcuff, you can get the whole damn crew.
All right, we're back with our segment of Real Talk, where it's our serious segment. And I was reading earlier online a publication down in St. Louis about how Sam Bradford could get in the area of $50 million guaranteed before he even steps on the field. He could blow his shoulder out, and he has $50 million. And it makes me, you know, think about athletes who have blown $50 or more million. You know, Antoine Walker, to be specific, and Derek Coleman.
Basketball Housewives.
Yeah, I mean, that, if anybody watches that show, I don't. But
yes, you do. Go ahead.
Who? I don't watch that show. Y'all watch Basketball Wives?
Basketball Wives.
That's all. Shawty.
Shaq Walker's money.
And Shaq's wife.
We don't just have to use Antoine Walker. This is a history of
Latrell Sprewell. That's what I was getting ready to say before I was interrupted. Latrell Sprewell blew his, and he said he couldn't feed his family with what they were offering him a couple years ago in Minnesota. I mean, so if y'all had 100, how can you blow between $50 and $100 million? How can you blow it? That's the question I have. I mean, house, cars, what else?
Ask Jordan. He blew it, but he can afford it. Andrew Walker couldn't. You can blow that money.
Yeah, too so bad Joe was the advisor.
Well, I mean, look at the type of people. Look at the type of people that are getting this money.
That's gambling.
But you ask how you can blow it.
Yeah, I mean, Antoine Walker in particular, he had like 9 people registered to his credit cards. You know, go ahead, use it. He was very loyal to the friends he grew up with. If you were signed to the contract Antoine Walker had, would you take care of all your friends you grew up with?
No, I would not. Nah, shout out to
that. A select few at all?
No.
He doesn't owe them anything.
The only person
you need to take care of is your mama, and that's it.
I understand.
The only person I would probably, outside of my family, if let's say they had kids, I would do like a college fund. But for them personally, no. They need to work just like I work to get my money.
Okay, well, that's why I think LeBron is setting a precedence for how you're supposed to handle yourself. You start companies. You get your friends to work.
Actually, no, he's not the first. Kevin Garnett is.
Had a house.
No. Correct yourself.
Kevin, I didn't say Garnett. He was the first.
No, you said you did. Please,
I said he was setting a precedent.
Yeah, precedent meaning the first. You need to correct yourself. Please correct it now.
So what would you do? What would you do if you had that money?
If I had that, how much are we talking about?
Between 50 and 100 million. Where were you when you just said that?
50 and 100 million, I mean, probably 50. I mean, a good meal, I am going to gamble. A good meal. I am probably going to shoot some craps.
Vegas and Atlantic City.
I'll probably go to Dubai. This is a real talk session. Real talk. I'm going to Dubai. I'm going to Dubai, and I'll probably get it in. You know what I'm saying? I come back, you know, invest, and probably go back
to
work.
You wouldn't give back to your native country?
I get that meal.
You talking about
his native country? He's giving back when he gets into that new tax bracket when he get the money. That's his giving back. But real talk, I mean, look at the type of players that are receiving this money. They never had money, so they really don't know how to handle money.
But you have financial advisors. You have a lot of
you don't resources. Always hire.
You have financial advisors that know they can take advantage of someone.
That's true.
And to be honest with you, I mean, I really have no care in the world if they lost their money. This ain't a new story. This been happening in entertainment and sports since people start getting paid a lot of money.
I think
so. Mike, you shouldn't become another statistic.
Mike Tyson was on The View talking about how he lost $300 million.
Who?
Mike Tyson. He was on The View.
Yeah, today I know.
It was today.
Yeah, he's not cognitively there, though. I think Ant is a brighter star than
what
Mike
I'm saying
Tyson.
Is he talked about he lost $300 million.
He was in a Hangover.
I mean, $300 million.
That was hilarious, dog.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, you don't... Like I said, when you get that amount of money, you don't know the lifestyle that they're used to. I mean, for a prime example, you know, Vic. Remember on the Vic...
he made a lot of bad investments.
On BET, that show. Yeah. He said he bought his brother a car.
A little spoiled bastard.
And he said he bought himself a car every year. A new car every year. Come on, man.
Well, see,
it looks stupid to me.
Well, he wasn't envisioning that he was gonna go to jail. But I understand the point you're coming from. But Fish, I think you sound a little personal because you always, you know, envy athletes about how they were born tall and you weren't. And stuff like that.
No, my thing about this is like this isn't a new story.
Seriously.
This isn't a new story as far as athletes receiving money and not know what to do with them. That's just like people in the music business. I mean, you're still signing bad music contracts now. Where the hell have you been the last 50, 75 years? It's not something new.
Buying cars ahead of time.
I mean, we're talking about something that's been pretty much repeating itself for a long time. So why should you have any type of feeling or effect from these people? I mean, this is nothing new. Well, this has been happening for a long time.
The thought just sparked with me when I saw that man getting that amount of guaranteed money, and I just thought about all that, how much money athletes get and how they blow it too.
Yeah, it was his money.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be real. It was
it's
his money.
He can do whatever
he
wants.
He can do whatever he wants, and also he lost his money. He didn't lose your money. He didn't steal from a bank. He lost his money.
His wife's
he
money.
He got his
now,
money.
That's why my feelings are, hey, why should I care? It's his money.
He just shouldn't listen to Jordan, man. It's just not
right. Why don't you listen to Jordan? Because when
that's always
when happens, I was listening to, I know you two over there hate Jordan, but I was listening to Jordan. He's really amazing.
It's actually not. He didn't listen to Jordan. What he said was, I think you misquoted him, Wally. it's the truth, though. He said that even Jordan wouldn't tell me to do the best I did.
Man, y'all do's a wild.
That's what he said. So that means like he was betting so ridiculous. Like we all know Jordan bets ridiculous.
He's
so,
going over Jordan's
so,
man.
So he went over Jordan.
But he's
Jordan
just trying
has
to be
a
like
his, to bet anyway.
So he was trying to be like his mentor to the 10th degree or something.
He maxed with like if Jordan say let's say Jordan would bet $1 million.
All right.
He probably bet $10 million. That's what I'm saying. He said Jordan would.
So he wanted
bet,
to take like instead of
he
like,
wanted
man,
to take
like,
over Jordan.
Okay, he
remember
over
he
Jordan.
Is from Chicago.
Yeah,
you know,
I told you, that's a bad role model.
So is Barack.
That's a bad role model.
Barack's
tell you
from
there.
Chicago. Well, he's from Hawaii.
Exactly, he's from Hawaii.
My biz ad. Go ahead, Fish. What you got to say, man? Are you mad because you're short?
Am I mad because I'm short? I mean, I'm the same height as you, right?
I don't
you
care.
You grew up to be my height.
Yeah, that's
but
why.
No,
I'm happy to be 5'9".
Hey, don't get
it
twisted. These two love each other. Don't get twisted.
My thing is, I mean, as an athlete, it's their money, so I really don't care what they do with their money. But at the same time, I'm not going to feel any type of remorsefulness for it. They lost their money. I mean, at the same time.
You said that already.
I'm also going to say you grew
like
up to be
couple.
My height.
Here they go.
All right, listen. Hold on.
Couple, man.
We don't care about when they blow their money. Man. I will agree. I don't personally. I don't
think
know
you do
Antoine
care.
Walker. No,
I think
no, no.
You don't care.
When athletes get in trouble,
when
like
Vic lost
Michael
his
Vick,
money,
all
how'd you feel?
When Michael, I didn't care that he lost his money. I was disappointed as a Falcons fan that he was going to prison. But a lot of people got real upset about how the media was, you know, coming after him for the crime he committed. But when somebody loses their money, we don't care. But when they go to jail, oh, it's a black issue.
What do you mean? when people, all right, why are we talking about Antoine Walker? We're talking about him because right now he lost his money. That's the only reason we're talking
and
about.
Let's talk about him trying to get back in the league.
He wasn't the only person I was discussing.
We're using Antoine Walker as an example.
Yeah, because he's the lead story
the
right
time,
now when it comes to this
his
issue.
Lead story,
and Nicolas Cage.
Antoine Walker, Kenny Anderson, I mean, it's multiple athletes, entertainers that lose money all the time. But at the same time, it's like, why should that affect us? It's the same story that repeats itself every year.
And to be honest, Antoine Walker's not broke. He just filed bankruptcy to you know, to shake some of the creditors. He's not exactly 100% broke. He have a couple million.
Oh, sweet.
Just like Michael Vick. Michael Vick was not broke. He just wanted not. He didn't feel like paying everyone. So you filed bankruptcy. I mean, it's a way to maneuver, shake and bake, Ricky Bobby style.
Y'all dudes are wild, man.
Shake and bake.
It is what it is. But to those young people who are getting ready, John Wall. Who else getting ready going
John
to
Wall
lead?
John Wall is signing with LeBron, so he already should be okay.
What does that mean?
LeBron, he's a smart man. I give him credit, though. For him being so young, he's quite smart. He didn't marry his girlfriend who has two kids with him, so he's not going to, you know, get caught up in that. The AI.
Hey, you don't know. They might have common law in Ohio.
I don't think they live together, to be honest. I think he rented out a place for her. That could be next door or something. He might have a guest house, but she does not reside where he stays at. I mean, it's pretty.
Are those facts?
No, it's not.
Yeah. Until we find out those facts, Coach, we're just gonna really think that he has a good household for him being a father to his kids. But at the same time, I mean, I don't really see LeBron. LeBron makes great business decisions.
Well, yeah, he does. He's pretty smart.
A good friend of mine who's a contributor to this show, his name is Ronnie Watkins. He stands about 6'7". He's getting ready to have a kid. We expect great things out of this kid, so we're gonna advise him not to do the dumb things Antoine Walker did with his money.
I will reserve my comment.
Anyway, that's real talk, man. But we signing off. Y'all join us next week. We got a lot more to talk to y'all about. We out. In the lead, it may seem he might be, but no matter what they doing, they don't do it like me. Like a G, I hold it down for the town I'm at. In a flash like that, recognize I'm back. Strike a back.